Camara 2 moves closer to the Sikorsky Prize. Cessna has kicked off its Discover Flying Challenge, and Air France says 5,000-plus jobs are at risk. This is Aero News for Tuesday, June 26, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Students from the University of Maryland's A. James Clark School of Engineering have set an unofficial world record of 50 seconds for the duration of a human-powered helicopter flight, far surpassing their 2011 world record of 11.4 seconds with Gemera 1 and any unofficial flights of prior years. This time will be submitted to the National Aeronautic Association by Judge Chris Maynard. The validation process is expected to take a few weeks. The American Helicopter Society's Igor I. Sikorsky Human-Powered Helicopter Competition, which requires that a human-powered helicopter fly for 60 seconds, achieve an altitude of 3 meters sometime during that flight, and remain within a 10-square-meter area, remains up for grabs. Pardon the pun. With its 50-second flight, Gemera 2 has come closer to the flight duration requirement than any other craft. The flight occurred on Thursday evening, piloted by Kyle Glusenkamp. Glusenkamp is a Ph.D. candidate in the Clark School's Mechanical Engineering Department. The team says it will now continue to refine their craft and explore ways to achieve the altitude requirement of the AHS Sikorsky Prize. After announcing a program to promote the Skycatcher around the country this summer, Cessna recently invited its group of selected interns, consisting of 8 pilots and a dispatcher, to Kansas to get them ready for their summer-long barnstorming tour. The pilots, each at least a college junior and a CFI with a minimum of 250 hours, will be attending aviation functions around the country, ranging from pancake fly-ins to open houses and, of course, Oshkosh, to sing the praises of the Skycatcher and to encourage people young and old to learn to fly. The Wichita Eagle reports that the pilots met at Cessna's Independence, Kansas facility for training and orientation before being dispatched to the various regions of the country where they'll show off Cessna's LSA. As part of their internships, they'll be using social media and blogs to document their activities, according to Cessna spokesman Andy Woodard. The 8 pilots and a dispatcher, of course, will all be on hand at AirVenture in Oshkosh. The chairman and CEO of Air France last week presented the airline's finalized strategic business project to the Central Works Council and the company's management. The plan has 2 goals: to restore the carrier's competitiveness and reposition its products and services at the best possible global level. In a news release, Air France said negotiations are underway with all unions representing ground staff, cabin crew, and pilots. By the end of 2014, the company aims to increase economic efficiency by 20% by limiting changes to the payroll and by increasing the efficiency of time worked, by not replacing staff who leave, and by improving processes. The airline says it needs a reduction in staff of 5,122 jobs, and that about 1,700 of those will occur through normal attrition. Assuming the new union agreements are signed, the airline has pledged not to use forced removals until at least the end of 2013. In the interim, the airline will seek to resolve the excess staff issue by offering an incentive for voluntary retirement, an incentive for voluntary departure from the company, and targeted incentives to switch to part-time work and more. Still, the airline says given the impact of the necessary reductions in activity and routes closures, forced departures may not be avoidable. A recent study conducted by federal wildlife biologists indicates that the steady red obstruction warning lights mounted on some towers are associated with deaths of migratory birds in some areas. As a result of the study, the FAA is changing the form that is used by broadcasters and others who own or operate towers of 351 feet or taller to request that they be able to turn off the steady red lights in favor of flashing red lights. The researchers were able to prove through flight test and evaluation of several different obstruction lighting configurations that the L810 fixture can be omitted or flashed to reduce their impact on migratory bird mortality and still provide sufficient warning for pilots to see and avoid the obstruction. As a result, the FAA is revising Advisory Circular 70/7460-1K, Obstruction Marking and Lighting. Broadcast and other tower owners who want to use only the flashing red lights on approved towers will be required to file an electronic form for what amounts to be a waiver, according to a report appearing in Broadcast World Online. The study, which is posted on the FAA website, indicates that turning off the steady red lights will have no effect on air safety. As a part of the extensive restoration of a B-17 undertaken by the mighty 8th Air Force Museum in Savannah, Georgia, California-based Chroma Systems Solutions will contribute modular DC power supplies that will provide DC power to the aircraft's radio room, turrets, flaps on the wings, along with its landing lights and interior lighting. The museum's goal is to make its B-17 the finest static display B-17 in the world, and it will be the only one with three operating turrets. The museum named its B-17 bomber City of Savannah in honor of one which left Hunter Army Airfield in Savannah and flew bombing missions over Germany in World War II. The City of Savannah will be restored to its wartime configuration and will be utilized in the museum's educational programs and in its mission to preserve the legacy of the courageous men and women who served in World War II. When Aero News continues, how about sending your kid to Aero Camp? And just how does a British airline mogul feel about the EU's carbon tax? And how much sun is too much sun?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, June 26th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Aero Camp, which is designed to give young people a unique opportunity to explore the vast and exciting world of aviation and aerospace at their local airports, will be held at Greenville's downtown airport in Greenville, South Carolina, July 16th through the 20th. This program was developed by the Flight School Association of North America. It's being sponsored locally at Greenville by FSANA member Mint Air and is the first time it's been offered in that region of the country. The summer camp is designed for young adults in 6th through 12th grades, and no previous aviation experience is required. According to the program, students will learn what makes an aircraft fly, how pilots use instruments, basic radio communication skills, learn about weather, rocketry, airport traffic patterns, basics of aeronautical charts, and best of all, 1 to 2 hours of actual flight time. In fact, this flight time can count toward future pilot training if the student wishes to continue. The director of the environmental activist group CFACT, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, reportedly challenged Virgin Everything CEO Sir Richard Branson on his stance on the EU's ETS during the recently completed Rio Plus 20 Environmental Summit. The National Review reports that Branson had just attended a Greenpeace news conference at the summit when he was challenged by CFACT's director Craig Rucker on his stance on the EU's ETS. Asked directly if he favored the carbon tax on his airplanes, which fly between the U.S. and other non-EU countries and European destinations, Branson said he would prefer, quote, an international tax rather than just one area of the world, end quote. But Branson also reportedly said that, quote, we're running out of oil, so we need to move into clean fuels as soon as possible, end quote, in response to a question from Rucker about the waning of support for the hypothesis of human-caused global warming, after which Branson's people whisked him away from the confrontation. Well, for Sir Richard's sake, at least Rucker didn't throw a shoe at him. It wasn't long ago that the state of New Mexico's fleet of aircraft was in the news because of Governor Susana Martinez's campaign promise to sell off most of that fleet. It was a campaign promise delivered as the state cut its fleet of 8 aircraft down to 3, including the sale in April of its only Beechcraft King Air that had reportedly not been flown in 5 years. That 1976 King Air was sold to a North Carolina skydiving firm for $245,000, according to various published reports. That sale left only 3 aircraft in the New Mexico state fleet. Or did it? State police use a Cessna 421 Golden Eagle fixed-wing aircraft, that's one, and an Augusta 109E helicopter, that's two. The Department of Game and Fish flies a 2009 Vulcan Air Observer, according to the state, that's three. Well, now there's news that the General Services Department in New Mexico reports that a state-owned Beechcraft King Air was damaged last weekend when hit by a tug. Police say the accident appears to be a simple case of driver inattentiveness. The tug backed into the aircraft, ripping off its door and damaging a wing. Well, the General Services Department says it operates this 2006 Beechcraft King Air under limited circumstances for public officials and to transport children's medical doctors to rural areas. The plane was reportedly being readied for one of those medical flights when the accident occurred. Now, by my count, that's four state-owned aircraft. No one questions the need for the United States to seek out and develop alternate sources of energy, but at what price to safety? Critics of the Ivanpah Solar Energy Plant, now under construction in the Mojave Desert, say it could pose a myriad of unknown dangers, including a threat to aviation. That, according to the Los Angeles Times. Once completed, the plant will be the largest in the world with 170,000 mirrors to collect the sun's energy and heat water in three 45-story towers to 1,000 degrees. No one knows for certain just what the dangers could be because no solar plant has ever been constructed on such a grand scale. Among the feared possibilities, the heat reflected from the mirrors might vaporize birds in flight, blind drivers miles away, create thermals strong enough to flip small aircraft, or even attract heat-seeking missiles. There is real concern for the effect of thermals on aircraft, with a new airport to serve Las Vegas being proposed for a site just a mere 6 miles away. The website Newser reports that the operator of the nearby Blythe Airport says he's warned officials of the dangers, but so far with little effect. Even if the Ivanpah plant should eventually prove safe, there are 100 more applications pending for solar plants to be built in the Mojave, turning the desert into one massive solar collecting station and just quite possibly the home of the first string of 60-second tanning salons. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of Aero News. Try to keep the sunny side up, will you? I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.